Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The shenanigans continue. This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Random Would You Rather question, 206-803-ROCK.
It's a charity idea, Mike.
Okay.
Hello, Rob. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Random.
Yo, random, bitches.
Hola. Rob, how are you? Welcome to the Random Would You Rather question. Let's see what we got here for you.
Well, it wasn't my question. I heard that you guys wanted to ask a question. I called in when about the mother and the father, you know, who would you go to?
Okay. And who would you go to?
Yeah. All right. So, yeah, it was my dad all the time because I'd get in trouble and I was kind of like a chip off his block. And my mother, it would be, he worked nights, so it'd be easier to deal with her during the day. But, yeah, my dad, he was always my man.
Okay. Now we're good. Yeah. Good. Well, it's not a bad guy to have in your corner, then.
Well, what I didn't understand, after the call-in guy, that it would be, you guys would be asking me a question or something, and I was calling in, and that segment was already over.
That's correct.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
So right. Now we have a different question for you. Would you rather?
Okay. Hypothetical. You ready? Okay, here you go. Would you rather spend one night in a tent in Africa or attempt to run a marathon?
Ooh.
Do I have time to train?
Yeah, you do.
I'm thinking, do you get ammo or guns in that tent in Africa?
You know what? Sure. Why not?
All right, I'll go with that.
Okay. I'm going to spend a night in a tent in Africa.
I would spend a night in a tent in Africa, even though it terrifies me. But the idea of running a marathon, I cannot explain how little interest I have in doing it. I get it's this incredible human achievement, blah, blah, blah. Nothing about it appeals to me. I would much rather spend one night in scary-ass Africa.
You would not sleep.
I believe that. I'm just in a tent. I'm not thinking I'm sleeping. I just know I'm in a tent listening to everything.
All the noises are at night. Oh, all yeah. The activity.
How much death do you hear?
All of the hunting. All of the fighting. Everything. The dust-ups. All of those animals hunt nocturnally.
Yeah.
So during the day is the peaceful times. That's when you go on a safari.
What was the scariest sound you heard at night? Like you said,
it could have been a bird. I mean, I don't know. You don't know.
I don't know what the animal is.
I heard hippos getting into it. For sure. Elephants don't really, once they're in a pack, they are very communal.
Right.
So there's not a really, there's not a dust up, so to say. The matriarch of the elephant pack
runs the show, right?
And she is so much bigger than all the other elephants. This is like,
really?
This is Big Bertha.
Okay.
I mean, this elephant, when you see the elephant, you're like, oh my God, that's the matriarch. There's no doubt about it. Like, you are stunned at the size of this creature.
What up, baby?
I mean, obviously, it's the biggest animal on Earth. Other than a blue whale.
Right.
But, you know, as far as a land animal, That's as big as it gets.
Did you hear about the elephant in Thailand today?
Who went into the convenience store.
So there's a convenience store. It was a wild animal, wild elephant. It walks into the convenience store. It grabs a bunch of snacks off the counter, and it has to back itself out. Now, the thing about this is, it did not really destroy anything. Its back kind of hit the drop ceiling because it couldn't help it, right? And it left muddy footprints on the floor. That's it. They have a big, I mean, this is like
a 7-Eleven. Tiptoed out.
It's a big-ass elephant. He grabbed whatever snacks were at the counter.
Still robbery.
I'm guessing like Slim Jim. Oh, they arrested his ass.
Yeah, good, good.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I might take that, try to do a marathon.
Really?
Well, you're going to give me time to train, right?
Right. Yep. To me, that's what makes it worse, because it's one thing to run the marathon, right? And you go, congratulations, all that. My sister-in-law runs marathons. And that's cool. The thing about it is, every time I talk to her, it does not matter the time of year, she's still training for the next one.
Because she's got 4 or 5 on the docket probably a year.
She does. And I'm like, so you're just always, always doing this thing.
And when you're not, you're almost there. So I think most training runs are, when you're at that point, 18 to 20 miles.
Yeah.
So once you get that far, you just know you push through for the remainder of it.
And that's what she'll run, like 18 miles, but she'll say, well, I had to go out for a light run because I'm training for whichever marathon's coming up. There's always one coming up. I'm like, how far are you going to run? She's like, well, all my nephews are here, so I'm just going to do like 18 miles. But she says it like you're going to walk to the corner and get a slice of pizza.
It stages like that. So if you can do 6 miles, you can do 10. If you can do 10, you can do 15.
Right.
You can push through. If you can get in 10, you can do 15.
I get it. I don't want to do
anything. If you do 15, you can do 20. But then that's the gray area. That's where it starts getting like, man, I'm 4 deep. How many hours am I in on this?
Yeah.
This is a long ass haul. Like, do I still have it in me? Are my nipples still on my chest?
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah. Do I have chub rub between my thighs?
Yeah.
You know, is my swanch all chafed and, you know, red and...
That's
irritated.
Why I'm taking the tent,
because you're sweating. So you're running in wet clothes. So
yeah.
Most of those guys can stay dry. But if you're an average runner, you're going to sweat.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. The problem is...
But it's all self-induced. That's why, to me, in the tent, if I'm attacked by a lion, like, look, I'm dead. There's no question about that. But I'm not voluntarily torturing myself to get this goal. I just got to spend one night.
So the reason we asked... Would you rather spend a night in a tent in Africa or run a marathon? A well-known businessman was killed by a lion when he stepped out of his tent at a luxury lodge in Namibia.
He stepped luxury. Out. Stepped yeah. out.
Northwest Namibia.
Where he had to pee.
Which is where my daughter lives.
I would pee in my tent. Oh, really?
This is exactly where my kid lives.
I thought she was in Southeast Namibia.
She's in Northwest.
Yeah, I'm just
She's up by the... what they call the... it's not the... It's like... It's basically where... The ocean meets a desert. And I'm not kidding you. Like, you go over a dune like you would a Coos Bay.
Right, like the beach is part of a 200-mile desert.
Correct. And you go over this hump and boom, it's just out there. But he stepped outside to use the bathroom. Guy's 59 years old. His name is Bernard Kebble. And he was staying in his tent, camping with his wife and friends. Mm-hmm. He goes outside to use the bathroom early in the morning. He was attacked before others could intervene and scare the animal away. By the time help arrived, he actually was dead from his injuries. By the time anyone could arrive.
Damn.
By the way, this guy was known for his support of the wildlife conservation of Namibia.
Well, guess what? It's working. Is that where you're talking about?
Yeah.
Pure desert ocean. It's actually gorgeous.
Yeah, it's...
It's like a great place to die.
Yeah, my my daughter, that's where she goes when she goes to the beaches.
Okay.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, like, I mean, people fail at marathons, but I don't hear a ton about people dying.
No. Right. He was the owner of an off-road center, a company that's basically supplied safari vehicle gear.
Okay.
All right. Police stated they were investigating and would provide a full report.
Investigating what?
Yeah.
It took a pee, it's attacked by a lion. End of story, man.
By the way, they say the area is known for its small population of adapted lions, about 60 adults, maybe a dozen cubs.
Mm-hmm.
Their numbers...
One is plenty.
Well, the problem is there's a drought, and so there's not a lot of prey. So there's not a lot of food. So they're warning people, look, like, this is the second recent fatal lion attack in Africa, following the death of a teenage girl outside of Nairobi and the national park in Kenya. In April.
Outside of Nairobi? That's a major city.
In that case,
and right outside of that major city, lion.
The lion went into the home and pulled the kid out.
Oh.
Damn.
Wow.
See, you're almost safer in the tent.
Yeah.
He had to leave his tent to get attacked.
Okay. So, I'm running that marathon, dude.
Yeah.
Do you remember the video of the guy? He came home, I believe it was a cheetah in his laundry room or something like that. You remember that?
Yeah.
And it's like, he opens the door. There is a cheetah in his home. And I don't remember if there's any audio with it, but you can kind of see. He's trying to figure out what to do. You know, it kind of freaks out because the cat wasn't making any move to attack him. But still, this guy had the presence of mind to know, don't do anything to provoke it. So they're just kind of looking at each other. The cheetah, I believe, had been asleep. And the cheetah's kind of looking at him like, I would like to go back to sleep, but I want to see what your intent is. And then this poor guy, you could tell he's thinking, I don't care if you go back to sleep. I need you out of my place.
So, wildebeests are incredibly dangerous.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, cheetahs are one of the best things that you can run into in Africa.
That's what I've heard.
With the threat of not dying. Now, look, they're 60, 70 pounds. But they give you the best option. They give you, they will more than likely leave you alone.
Yeah. It's kind of like a black bear, right?
Or a leopard will not.
Right, like the cheetah, really, he's like, I don't really want much to do
with
it.
I'm not in for a fight.
Unless you're, like, messing with his family.
Okay.
By the way, what's the biggest meal you eat every day?
The biggest meal?
Dinner.
Yeah, as far as
dinner.
Yeah.
So why don't we say that humans eat nocturnally? Or hunt nocturnally?
Because maybe the sun's still up.
Yeah.
You know, we're in Seattle. Like, the sun doesn't go down until, like, 9:30.
I'm just saying, like, I mean, you always hear that, and it's like, well, of course they do. Humans eat their biggest meal at night.
You know, that's a good point. Right.
But they eat all night long.
And then the hyenas
come and they clear everything out.
Yeah.
So what was not eaten by the original, killer of the animal, then the hyenas come and they clean all the bones.
Except for that cheetah. Remember, the cheetah, while it's so fast, once it kills, it has to rest. So the hyenas just kind of trot along behind them. And those poor hyenas, or not the poor cheetah. Like, they don't eat their kill. I want to say it's a high percentage. It's like 50 or 60% of the time the hyenas just show up and, like, we're going to take that.
It's mine.
Man,
it'd be like,
it's like being in Baltimore.
Well, I was to say, imagine.
Yeah, it's mine now.
Right, like, you're sitting all day on your grill, right? You've been cooking something or whatever. I pop by, take your two steaks.
And that's it.
Because you're just tired. There's physically nothing you can do to stop me.
But Joseph showed up with a bunch of your buddies.
Yeah.
Who are looking at me like, you got a problem with them taking the steak, do something about it.
So as far as running the marathon, this is a real-life Barney Stinson situation. This guy was so confident he could complete a marathon with zero training, it started to agitate his wife to the point that she went out and signed him up for the San Diego Rock and Roll Marathon last weekend. Now, here's what she did. She woke him up 24 hours before the race and told him, hey, guess what? Lucky you. I signed you up for the San Diego Rock and Roll Marathon. You are running this race in 24 hours. His first response to his wife, I need to go to REI.
Okay.
Yeah. They say it's safe to say that he was, he has that dog in him because over the course of multiple viral videos on TikTok,
I saw these.
You see the guy get geared up, eat accordingly, and then complete the San Diego Rock and Roll Marathon.
He killed it.
Zero training.
I think because I'm with Mike, I watched it. Like, he walked a little bit, but not much.
No.
Did he run the entire marathon? No. But he never claimed that he would. The claim was always that he can complete a marathon with zero training. He did exactly that. Now, his wife's first video went viral on TikTok. 6.6 million views. She wakes him up to inform him he's going to be running in the marathon. Now, after the success of that video, she obviously started documenting the entire saga. Now, in a much later clip, she discussed how not only does her husband not run, he doesn't work out at all. Now, she is a gym rat, which makes sense if you've been to San Diego.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, upon being woken up and informed he was running the marathon in San Diego, he knew he needed gear. So he goes and gets some goo packs.
What is the goo?
The goo are a little plastic packs.
Well, I know what they look like.
Is it like protein or something?
Yeah. I would assume it is protein heavy. Probably a little bit of carbohydrates in there. Typically, they're peanut butter. Or they're chocolate flavored. They probably have some electrolytes in them.
I know they, depending who you are, they can have a bad effect on your guts because the same sister-in-law is just talking about. We saw her last August. We picked her up at the train station in Philly, and then she's going to ride with us to go to the beach in Delaware, right? So the thing about it, she lives in New York City. So she said, look, I'm going to do a light run. This one was 15 miles in New York City. Hop on the train, pick me up at the train station. No problem. So I'm waiting for her at the front. She walks out. She gives me a quick hug, drops her bags, says, I'll be right back. Both hands go to her stomach. She's gone, right? But 5 minutes later, she comes out, and I'm like, Meredith, did you ask yourself? She said, I was about to ask myself.
Jesus.
But she said it's from that goo.
The goo packs, what I got here, they're small, portable, easily digestible packets of concentrated carbohydrates designed to provide runners with a quick source of energy.
Ah. He also bought some running shoes because he didn't have those.
Probably a good idea.
So, still in complete and utter denial that her husband is actually going to do this with zero training. So she heads to the course. In a later video, the wife said she walked to the 10-mile marker on the course, getting into position to see her husband. That's when you see him run by.
Okay.
In her first clip of him running the marathon with literally zero training. He then crosses the 11-mile marker. Okay. He completed the 26.2-mile San Diego Rock and Roll Marathon as one of his wife's final videos shows him running across the finish line.
How long did it take him, does it say?
It does not say the time. I would assume probably 6 to 8 hours, maybe.
That's where I'm thinking.
Does that seem about right?
Yeah. Because I walked 20 miles here not terribly long ago, and that was several hours to get that
one. Why did you walk 20 miles?
Because...
you run out of gas or something?
No, the whole thing is that on the phone it tracks our steps, and then the wife saw that there were badges for big step counts. So 10,000 gets one, 20,000 gets one, 30,000 gets one, 40,000 gets one. We didn't have the 40,000 one, so she wanted to set out to get 40,000 steps. I did the math online, and 40,000 steps is about 20 miles.
So how long did that take? Did that take 7 hours?
About 7 hours,
okay.
Yeah.
And was it just like one consistent walk?
So we cheated a little bit. We had gone to a birthday party the day before her cousin. Left that place at around 11:30 at night. Got home around 10 minutes to midnight. So we took the dog for a walk and got a couple thousand steps at midnight.
Okay.
Woke up, walked the dog again. Then we did Green Lake twice, which is about a collective 7 miles.
Uh-huh.
That got a lot of it out of it. Walked around downtown here. We parked at the studio, went down to the stadiums along the waterfront and all the way back. By the time we got home after that, we had about 8,000 miles left to go, or 8,000 steps left to go.
That's a lot.
Jesus.
Yeah. And to know that we did 40,000 steps and we still had 6 miles left to go after that,
yeah,
to have completed a marathon, that's wild to me.
20 miles is long. When I was down in that F1 race, like we clocked about 10 miles in a day. And even my buddies, like, they're pretty fit dudes. And we were all like, man, my legs are getting tired.
Yeah, you start to feel it.
Yeah.
Definitely start to feel it.
Does that story include the video of the next morning miles?
He does not mention that.
Because there was a lot of comments in there that was like, hey, tag me when you post the next morning. And she did. This guy literally has to lift his legs off the bed to put them on the ground just because
he's
dead.
Yeah. Yeah,
and everybody kept saying that there was some condition that he needs to be careful of, where if you don't work out a lot and then all of a sudden you put like a bad workout on him, apparently like it's either collagen or maybe there's like calcium deposits that build up in those muscles haven't been worked, and you could actually really screw yourself up.
I've done 15. That's the longest I've run.
15 miles.
15 miles.
Jeez.
The worst I've ever felt in my life was a training hike of mailbox. It was the old route. I had 40 pounds of weight in a backpack.
Yeah.
My problem is most people load with gallons of water.
Mm-hmm.
And when they get to the top, they pour the water out. Well, we had a sales guy here. He said, just do me one favor on these training routes, because he had done Rainier a number of times. He said, do not dump the water, because you need to train your legs to be able to carry that stuff back down.
Yes.
So I said, okay, well, I'm not going to take water. I'm going to take the chains from my wife's car that we use to go skiing.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to throw tire chains off the top of mailbox. When I got home, I fell asleep immediately, did not wake up until the next day, and I could not move. I could not move.
Right.
I mean, until noon. I'm sitting there rubbing my legs. I'm like, I can't get out of bed. Like, this is unbelievable. I mean, it was horrible. I could not believe that you could physically do that to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It sucked. I'll never see that place again. More of the random Would You Rather question coming up, 206-803.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth. For a healthier heart,
for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Rock.
Always live on the free Odyssey app. From the Pinkies Plumbing Studio, you're in the men's room. Text the guys at 206-803-ROCK.
Who sucks less? Coming up at 4:30. In the meantime, it is our random Would You Rather question, 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Drew. Welcome random, to the men's
random,
room.
Random. Hola, bitcholas.
Hola. Drew, welcome to the program. And the random Would You Rather question. Here is a weird one, but it pertains to the two stories. Would you rather be driving down the road at 60 miles an hour and crash your car into 11 cows, okay? Or take a fastball to the face?
I've already done that one. Okay. I'll take the cows.
You're going to take the risk of the cows.
Now, I'm taking the cows all day.
The cows can come through your windshield.
They can.
Very easily. There's 11 of them. You are hitting 11 cows with your car.
Mm-hmm.
Your car is going to be totaled.
That's fine.
Number one. So the car's gone. The question is, how bad off are you going to be in that wreck?
I don't know. But either way, I have a car for some protection. And yes, I'm going to get messed up. A fastball to the face, my protection is my skin. Like, okay. That is a failure.
How much does a cow weigh? What's your average cow? I don't know.
1,600 pounds?
1,600. You Googling that, Mike?
Oh, yeah, I got it.
But you're going to hit 11 of them. Right. 11. Okay.
They're saying about 1,100 pounds.
Oh, 1,100
you
pounds.
You have a story.
Okay.
You hit
about
a cow?
Hitting cows?
No. Baseball.
Okay.
Leaving a game early and food at the park.
And what?
Okay.
Happened?
Okay, so.
Are we supposed to guess the story?
No. So, like, see, I was working freight at the time. And it was bobblehead night, dual bobblehead night, Randy Johnson, Dan Wilson.
Great night.
I'm working freight. It's an afternoon game or whatever. So I just want to go there and get the bobblehead, right? So me, my ex-wife, my buddy, we drive up there to get the bobbleheads and to have Ivers Fish and Chips. I love Ivers Fish and Chips at Safeco Field. So we go there. We get the Ivers fish and chips, our bobbleheads, and we're in like left center field, and we're just eating our Ivers. And this older lady's walking by while they're having batting practice, and she gets hit in the head with a baseball.
Oh, did she drop?
Like a home run. Oh, she did, right in front of our little picnic table that we had. You know how they have, like, random little picnic tables?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Dropped right in front of us. I was just like, security, security. And then everyone came rushing over. There was blood, like, all on the concrete. And we just ate our fish and chips and then drove back home. I just wanted those dual head bobbleheads.
See you once again.
We didn't even stay for the first inning.
You literally showed up to get some fish and chips, some bobbleheads, watch a lady drop bloody to the ground and roll the hell out.
Because I had to work at midnight. Yes, sir.
All right.
It was the Hall of Fame dual bobblehead night. I still got it in my trophy case.
Okay. Hopefully there's no blood on it. Yeah, she dropped. Security.
Reason we asked, would you rather crash into 11 cows with your car or take a fastball to the face? Now, in this instance, it was not a car. It was a semi-truck.
Well, he wins.
So the Minnesota State Patrol is investigating how multiple cows ended up on a highway in Fillmore County. They were later struck by a semi. According to the State Patrol, incident unfolded at 4:26 a.m. in the morning.
Ooh.
When the semi was traveling west. And then, unexpectedly, collided with the 11 cows that were on the road. 10 bovines were killed. One survived with injuries. The driver of the semi, a 52-year-old man, he sustained non-life-threatening injuries. But he was taken to the hospital.
Sure.
Immediately. At the moment, the State Patrol says they're not sure how the cows ended up on the highway, but they are investigating. Even though that guy was in a semi, he got messed up pretty bad.
Yeah, I mean, 1,100 pounds each, and you hit 11 of them.
Mm-hmm. Now we,
yeah, I mean, a fastball off your eye, though, off your face.
Nope.
I mean, it could destroy your oracle, like orbital. Your eye.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, that's rough.
Now we head down to T-Mobile for the game that you guys were at last night.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Seattle Mariners pitcher George Kirby was hit by a 102-mile-per-hour line drive to the face.
Yep. Yep.
Last night, walked off the field, apparently, like it was nothing. He even said after the game it didn't hurt. Did you guys see this?
Yes, we did. We saw the play, and we're behind him. But you can tell it hit him in the face. And my son said, man, is he all right? I said, he's not, but he's going to tell everyone he is, because that's what athletes do.
Yeah. Incident occurred top of the fifth. And the game with the Orioles last night. Orioles third baseman, Raymond Urias, he's a bat with a 1-2 count. He rips the comebacker that ricocheted right off the All-Star's face. Mm-hmm. Making the scene even more incredible, the ball bounced directly to first baseman Rowdy Tellez, who made the final out of the inning.
Yes! I mean, honestly, that's how it played out.
Now, George Kirby never went down. Just casually walked off the field, stretched his jaw with a trickle of blood streaming down his chin, then goes into the dugout. I didn't even see it coming, he said. I just put my hand up. I'm just glad it kind of missed any of the bad spots on my face. Kirby left the game after the line drive, but he was more than likely done anyway. That was his 95th pitch of the game.
Oh, damn.
And that's the most he's thrown.
So oh, really?
He was probably coming out at the end of the inning, no matter what.
Just get hit in the face first.
Dan Wilson, the manager, he was not quite so flippant when talking about the situation. He said, look, Kirby's going to go, he's going to get evaluated before stepping back on the field again. A lot of the times, the adrenaline is so much.
Yeah, always.
That right? You don't understand what you're going through. He said, because you just got that adrenaline at the same time. But we're just glad and happy that he seems to be okay. And it could have been something way worse.
It could have been a lot worse, man. I mean, it was just, you hear the crack.
Is that one of those, ooh?
Yeah, because, you know, you're watching the game. And the way I perceive it, you heard the crack of the bat, and then you saw the ball kind of ricochet off of his face. You know, but it's just so fast.
Yeah.
You know, 100, what is it, 66 feet to home plate or something like that?
60 feet, 6 inches.
So at 102 miles an hour, that covers ground pretty quickly, yeah, man. So it's like you see him swing, you hear the crack. And, I mean, at the time you hear the crack, the ball's ricocheting off of his head. But, like, damn, they got the out. So it's kind of weird because I'm like, oh, man, ah, damn it. I, you know, I still wanted to get the base hit, but that's just me.
I think I'm taking the cows.
I am too.
Because also it depends on where, like he's right, depends on where you hit you in the face. I mean,
he managed to get his glove up, so ricocheted a little bit off the glove.
Ricochet, right, I just watched it, like, but like, you know, had an awful incident we watched in person years ago, and that guy took that line drive, and he turned his head and hit him in the back of the head. I mean, he was messed up. Luckily, I don't have to name the guy, but the guy, like, paid all the medical bills and everything. But, like,
yeah.
I ran into him just, like, a year and a half ago and brought it up.
So the you ran into the baseball player that hit the ball?
The athlete, yeah.
Okay, all right.
And he was, like, because when I threw out the first pitch a few years ago at the Aqua Sox game, like, they were like, hey, do you remember? And I go, yeah. And they were like, and I met the, and the guy was there. He's like, oh, I was messed up. And he was like, that dude paid the bills, showed up, visited me. Like, it was.
Yeah, there's no ill intent.
I mean, so he was there, but he was eventually going to be a Mariner.
No. This guy's already retired.
Oh, okay.
But he was a professional in another sport and played college ball. Okay. So he knows right. what he's doing.
Right.
And he, yeah, and somebody was kind of joking around. They were like, go ahead, rip one. He hits a line drive. And that poor kid, I mean, when that hit his head, I mean, that ball.
Could you hear it?
Yes.
Gosh.
It rolled almost back to the plate. And I mean, and that guy was messed up. He's fine now.
Sure.
Everybody involves good, but like.
But at the time.
Right. So that's why, and credit to Miles. Miles said 3 weeks leading up to that, L screen. We don't need an L screen. We needed the L screen, right, to protect the pitchers.
Well, you do. Also, this kid was just, he was just up there throwing, like in a charity game or something.
Correct. He was just throwing like
against BP. A professional athlete.
Right. And everybody was kind of chirping him. So he was like, all right. And he was like, all right. And everybody's like, hit it, dude. He's like, all right, pump one a little faster down the middle. Obviously, the pro athlete who played college baseball, too, was like, all right. And I mean,
was this a metal bat or a wooden bat?
I think they were playing with metal bats.
Oh, Jesus.
That's what I'm saying. When I ran into him and brought it up, he didn't, and he was like, oh, I remember. And he's like,
yes.
You know, he was, I mean, to the point, like, I don't think that guy would ever do an event like we had him do again.
That's why softball's so dangerous. And I know the softball is softer, and I know it's bigger.
It was still
but the pitcher is closer. The bases are closer. The third baseman, the first baseman. There's three very dangerous. You think the shortstops get a lot of action?
Right.
That's not dangerous. That's just stupid if you're going to step in there.
And when you play, when you watch those men and women that play like that high-level slow pitch,
yeah,
they're good enough that they never hit it back at the pitcher. They know what they're doing.
Yeah.
But you take a group of us and go.
We don't know.
I don't
make contact.
I can hit the ball. I don't even know if I can't. Like, I might hit it back up the middle.
Yeah, it's crazy.
What was that? Somebody got, when we had that foul balls team, somebody, I don't know.
Somebody almost killed Toppy.
Top Shelf almost got killed once pitching.
I have never seen Top Shelf move this fast, right? He was not known for being like fleet of foot, right? That's just not what you think. And
Toppy.
And he's always stoned and all this, but he's pitching. And I don't remember who hit it, but I mean, this thing, it was like a laser beam. And I cannot explain how fast Toppy's hand was in front of his face and caught the ball. And I think even Toppy was like, I did not know I could do that.
For the most part, we were playing. We are not an organized softball team. What? We had one.
Right, we had
18. But we were playing organized softball teams.
Correct.
So we were playing guys that play, that are on teams, that compete. So we were just out there for fun, but these guys could play most of the time.
Whoever, correct.
Yeah, whoever we played against, they were a legitimate softball team.
And it showed.
No hope of us winning the game. Just the idea of being able to go out and play for fun. But I'm telling you what, it's dangerous.
That's why I was so happy when that ended, because I was the only one playing third base. It's like everybody else is going to get hurt. I was like, well, I'm tired of sitting on this corner every guy right. I got to get him out.
Yeah.
Because for the most part, they were good enough not to hit it up the middle.
Right.
They didn't mind ripping shots down at me.
Right, yeah. Well, I had this buddy, and he ended up playing in the pros. So
right.
He made it to the major league level. But when we were in high school, we were on opposing high schools.
All right.
But we grew up together, and we were best friends growing up. So we know each other very, very, very well. And I was not pitching that day, but Ravi was. So, and it's a big game. You know, like, it's toward the end of the year. This is when the two teams that are in the same town, same town with two different high schools, play each other. This
so
is
it's
the
gonna be a big
this
deal.
Is the Apple Cup of my baseball world.
All right.
Right?
Yeah.
You're playing against guys you grew up with, your friends, but they went to this school and you suck because you went to that school, blah, blah, blah. So Ravi calls me the night before the game and he goes, hey, man, I just want you to know if the situation calls for it and we are not in a situation where it matters, I am throwing the ball as hard as I can at your head.
He told you this.
Yes. And I was like, Ravi, you can't do that, man. Ravi threw in the 90s.
Oh.
I was like, dude, please, seriously, man. You just don't. I mean, come on, man. You know, like, don't do that to me. Even if I was pitching, I could donk him with a
75 mile an hour fast.
And that's your best.
Maybe.
Right?
I mean, we didn't have a gun then, but you know, like, but he was gunned when he went to college. I know damn well what he threw. But man, so I step into the box and he just starts smiling. And I'm like, oh no. Oh no, man. Oh no. So first pitch, fastball behind my head. Behind my head high. And the catcher could not catch the ball. Ravi's also pitching from the windup. There's nobody on base.
Right.
Okay? So he doesn't really need to care about holding the runner. He's just slinging back and just absolutely firing this ball. It goes behind my head. Catcher can't even catch the ball.
Right.
Calls timeout. You know what I mean? And he's just kind of looking around. I'm on the ground. I'm up. I'm like, I'm good. He was trying to figure out the ump if I got hit in the back of the head.
Okay, the umpire.
So right. I did not get hit. So I get back in the box again. This one is right at the chin. Number two. Now the ump calls timeout again. And he's like, hey, pitcher. And so the coach comes running out from the Morgantown High team, right? And he goes out and he's talking to Ravi. Ravi's still smiling. This is pissing off the umpire a little bit. But yeah. I'm talking to my coach and I'm like, he told me he's going to throw me, man. That's the only thing he's going to throw in my head. And he's like, listen, he's like, I tell you what I want. Here's what I want you to do.
Just take it.
He said, I want you to square around and I want you to bunt.
Okay.
He said, you're never going to hit him. He said, you just square around and you just bunt. So I squared around and this ball is coming right at me, man. Again, I dive out. This is three balls in a row. All right. So it's now 3-0 on the count. Next pitch, Ravi throws straight gas, high fastball. I ignore the bunt sign. I swing. I mean, I'm not even close.
Right.
Second pitch, same deal. Now Ravi's just laughing his ass off. Now the count is full.
Sure. Right?
So it was 3-0. I should have watched the two go by, but I didn't. They both would have been strikes anyway. The final pitch, full count. Ravi had a breaking ball like you'd never seen in your life. This thing is coming at the back of my head. All right.
Don't tell me.
I fall back.
Dive out of that box.
I dive out of that box. That ball breaks down off of a cliff. The catcher didn't even move his glove. Thump. I'm just like, you ass. Like, he set me up. He could have hit me. Very well could have hit me if I didn't get out of the way. But he just set me up to screw with my head so bad. And then he threw this breaking ball that was just absolutely embarrassed.
And you dove.
And both dugouts were laughing their ass off. Yeah.
Oh, God.
I mean, both. The game was out of reach. Didn't really matter. We're not going to win the game at that point. I think we're like 6-1 or something.
Right.
But I mean, just the idea of, I really thought he was going to kill me. I've never felt that much fear in a sporting event. And sometimes in football, you like look across, the guys are huge. And you look at the linebacker and you go, oh, no, this guy's going to blitz. You can tolerate that.
Well, sure.
But not a fastball to hit.
Part
of
the play.
Because you don't realize how fast that thing's coming when someone is that good.
Mm-hmm.
Because it happens so much faster. It's like you can't even pick up your foot and that thing's there. Like you would have to actually time it out to start your swing.
As he's winding up almost.
That's kind of how it felt. Just terrifying, man.
Yeah, that was one thing. My son was very impressed with just how fast everyone can throw the ball. You know, any guy from center field throws it to home. You know, it's like, oh my God. I said, dude. That is why they are professional players.
Well, listen. Yeah.
People like you and me, we can't do that. They can, and when it shows, it shows.
I have a buddy, right? His son pitched for UW, right? Isaac Yeager. Right? He's 6'5", big boy, right? Just gasses the ball. So somebody, and I'm friends with his dad through another guy, and somebody I was drinking with, or they were spouting off, and I was like, oh, you all right, like, you can hit 90? I was like, I'll bring Isaac over here. We'll go to a field.
All right.
He could, like, he pops 90. You might see him playing in the minor league.
Why did these guys think they could hit that? Did they play in high school?
They played in high school or something.
I'd be afraid to get in the box.
And I was like, dude, we'll set it up. Let him pump some balls. Like there's no way. You won't even foul. They were like, I could foul it off.
No, I'm with Miles.
I said, he's 6'5". I said, when he toes that rubber, you're going to S your pants. Seriously. Yeah. I watched him play 3 games this year, and I was like, my God, that boy is scary.
Did you actually set it up?
No, they bitched out.
Yeah, I think they should.
Well, so it was 3-0. His first strike was technically a slider. So he was kind of coming in, like, in my groin.
Right.
And then it just broke right in. I'm like, And then the other one was kind of like a... Basically, just threw a split, but he threw it high, so I thought the ball was going to be high. Then the ball dropped down for another strike.
Right.
So he threw a split at me, which I was like, oh, high out strike. Jesus Christ. And it just dropped off the table. That curveball, man, I mean, it was behind my head. It was behind my head. It is still was probably 82 miles an hour.
Right.
It was still fast. And then all of a sudden, I just see it coming right in my face. I'm like, oh, no. And I dropped my bat, and I fell back. And I look up, and the catcher hadn't even moved. And he's just looking at me, and the ump's looking down at me.
Get out of here.
You got to wear that one, Montgomery, if it doesn't break.
Christ. Oh, I didn't live that one down forever.
Yeah.
Who Sucks Less is coming up at 4:30, and we got your emails coming up next in the men's room at KISW.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.